Matthew chapter 16. It's good, of course, to have everyone here. I don't believe we have any. There's no first time guest. I don't believe this morning. So I apologize if there is one and I did not see you. I apologize for that. Matthew 16 in your Bible. I want you to begin or to follow along with me here. I'm going to read from verse 13 down to verse number 18. In Matthew 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" Now here, not too long ago, we were looking at this particular passage as well. In verse 14, it says, "And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter," now of course Simon seemed never to have be at a lack of words, always seemed to have some kind of a response to give. And here again, Simon Peter of his disciples answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I'm grateful for the times that Peter gives a correct answer. Amen. I love that. We see times in the Bible where he gives an answer that we could kind of grimace at, especially when he's handing or warming his hands at the sinner's fire and making the decision that he is not going to associate himself with the likes of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for here he says, "Well, we know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered in verse 17 and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then verse 18, such a familiar passage to us. In verse 18 it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This morning my message I have given a simple title, "Our Church Has a Great Future." Our church has a great future. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the house of God. I mean that. I am so thankful, not just because I'm a pastor, certainly because of that, but long before I was a pastor, I fell in love with the church. I fell in love with what God does with His people as He gathers us together in a called out assembly. I love church. Oh, I hope that you do as well. I hope that you gain a love for the house of God, not just Coastal Light Baptist Church, although I love it above any church in this city. Amen. It's a great place to be. If there were a better one, I'd pastor there. Amen. No, I love the church, though. I am grateful for everyone to be here. Well, I want us to see this morning that the church has a great future. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Brother Howell, could I have you lead in a word of prayer for the service, please? There's no doubt of the love that God has for the church. There's no doubt about it. According to Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, where it says, "Feed the church of God," now watch, "which He hath purchased with His own blood." It's a directive given to the pastor as Paul is teaching here. As he has gathered different pastors together, perhaps one of the first pastors' conferences that had ever been held was there in Acts chapter number 20. And he is giving a directive to those pastors, "Feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Amen. You see, there's a special place in God's heart for the church. As we see here in Matthew chapter number 16, as of course it is coming up here, and Jesus is asking them, "Who is it that men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now we could see in His humanity He is asking a question, but yet in His divine nature, He had no doubt what people were already saying of Him. He knew that there were going to be those that would love Him and those that would not love Him, multiplied the thousands more who didn't love Him and who wouldn't follow Him. But as it gets down here and he looks at Simon Peter after Simon answering that thou art the Son of God, he says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Boy, thank the Lord for the teaching of God Himself. In verse 18 then he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." Now he points and says, "Thou art Peter," means of course a pebble, a stone, a small rock. That's what the word Peter means. And then he says, "Upon this rock." He is not talking about Peter. He is talking about Himself. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church itself has a great future. The church has a great future. It is not isolated to Coastal Light Baptist Church, but yet our church has a great future. And I'm going to give you some reasons here in a few moments as to why. But the church itself, boy, you have a pastor that believes in the local New Testament church, the local house of God. I do not believe in the Catholic Church. You know, the word Catholic means universal. That's what the word Catholic means. Then when you put a capital C on it, now all of a sudden it refers to a religion, a dogma that adds, of course, all of the sacraments and all that the Catholic Church has become to be known. But the Catholic Church began because Constantine wanted to have a universal church that he was going to be able to rule over all of the land because they'll bring it together under the auspices of a church. So Catholic means universal. I don't believe in the universal church, the Catholic Church with a small C. I don't believe in the large C either, but the universal church. Now, I know that there's a church here. There's another one on James Island. There's another one in Monk's Corner. There's another one in Goose Creek. There's another one in North Charleston. There's another one in Hollywood. All of these different towns and cities right around us, all of the different states around us, all of the different regions around us, all of the different continents around us. I know there are other churches, but I believe in a local New Testament called out assembly. You see, there are many that don't believe in a local church. They just kind of float around in that universal church. And in the universal church, there really isn't a whole lot of commitment to God, and certainly isn't a whole lot of commitment to His church. There's a special place in God's heart for the church. Now, we have studied a great deal about His church, the Lord's church, in my years here. Here in our church, we have studied about it. And I believe that it is without question that our church, Coastal Light Baptist Church, has a great future. Now, we have weathered some great storms in the tenure. Our church is almost now, we are 34 years old. This will be our 35th year. No, I'm sorry, 33, 132. This will be our 33rd year, I apologize. In 1982, the church started, and I thank the Lord for Brother Welch. He had a desire and a burden on his heart to start a church in the West Ashley area. And praise the Lord, our church has been in West Ashley ever since its inception. It started, many of you may not know this, the Round Holiday Inn that's down there on Highway 17, right on the Ashley River, where Highway 17 splits either side of that Holiday Inn. Our church started on the 14th floor of that hotel back in 1982. For several months, I don't believe a full year, might have been, but for quite a long time, they met in the 14th floor of that Holiday Inn, and they would go in and they would set up church, would set up all the chairs, they would tear down the tables, they would put up a pulpit, and Pastor Welch would take that pulpit and began the church. Boy, I thank the Lord for it. It's been in this area, West Ashley, ever since. Several years ago, some of you don't know this, when I first came in 2006, in 2007, we as a church voted to put our church property on the market. We were at a point where it was a noose around our neck. It was an anchor cast into the depth of the sea, and it felt like we were just surviving, dog paddling. I talked to Brother Johnson many times. We never missed a bill. We were always able to meet our bills, but it felt like we were constantly just barely being able to get breath and then sink down for a little bit of a rest and paddle ourselves back up and grab another breath. But boy, I thank the Lord how He was faithful to our church. We looked at selling our property. We were unable to. Three different times we had people come and they signed contracts with us. We signed. They signed. They said, "We will buy your building. We will buy your property." People were asking me, "Pastor, where are we going to go?" I said, "I don't know." I had many people say, "How about Somerville?" I said, "Well, Somerville needs a good, strong church." I looked up in that area, but I never really felt like that's where the Lord was leading me. I said, "I believe that West Ashley needs a strong, independent, fundamental Baptist church." And so through three different times of having been in a signed contract, and then three different times they walked out on us, I said, "Folks, I believe that we should be done. I believe that as God shows us in the Bible, we knocked on the door three different times. He said, 'No, I believe this is where He's going to build this church.'" And I thank God that the day we took it off of the market, we have seen nothing but an upward, an incline in everything that God has done for us. I believe he wanted to see, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to go where I lead you? Well, I believe we are. And I believe we have a wonderful future. We've seen some difficult struggles. We've had our share of those. But God has been faithful to his flock. Boy, he's been faithful to us. We've looked at provision before and how God provides for us. And I believe that we should see that we have a duty back to God because of the provision that he gives to us. We have a duty back to God. He has provided for us. He has provided for us, he has provided for us an edifice. Yes, I understand. I would like for a new edifice one day. I would love that. I would love for a building that has a little bit more of a flow of a church building. The people aren't confused as to what door should I go in. Maybe we should make my office the church auditorium, and that way everyone would be able to find the front door. And so therefore, I've asked different individuals, hey, could we have you stationed out front? Would you be out there in parking lot duty and greet people as they come in and make sure that they know where the front door is? I've talked to men and I said, listen, maybe even we'll get to the point where during Sunday school, we have someone out there who stays in the foyer of the auditorium listening to the Sunday school message in the foyer, but watching out there for a visitor that might be coming up early for the 11 o'clock service, and they're wandering back and forth. Where do we go? Where do we go? My wife has said her Sunday school class is over in the front part of this wing. She has a window that looks out into the parking lot. She says countless times she has seen people come up to that door. Oftentimes it's locked because we don't unlock that one during Sunday school. I want a little bit of security. We don't always unlock that. And they'll kind of wander back and forth before they realize, oh, the front door must be this one that's inset, the one in the middle there. You see, there are a lot of things that we can do with our building, but he has been wonderful for providing for us. I believe we have a duty to God. Let's watch as he grows us. Let's watch as he grows our love for him. Let's watch as our love for others grows. And let's watch as a love for godliness and real, genuine holiness grows. You see, the church setting is a hospital, as Brother Scott so perfectly described for us during our missions conference. It's a hospital. It's not just a hospital for those who are lost. And I'm grateful for those who come and they don't know Christ as their Savior, and we have opportunity to give them the gospel very clearly, teach them about salvation. But it's also a hospital for those who are hurting, those who have made bad decisions, those who have had decisions made against them, those who are suffering, those who are struggling. You see, God expects us to be a hospital where we take and we bandage and we give them medicine and we help with the mending and we stabilize and we give a little bit of physical therapy, if you will, to gain that strength back. Someone who is ill, someone who is sick, and someone who has had their leg broken, they struggle with making it work properly again, especially if you've had been in a cast for any length of time. Something devastating has happened to you physically. It takes a while to get back to the point where you once were. And that's what the church does. So we should see some godliness. We should see the increase in godliness. We should see, obviously, we should see those who are coming that are hurting. Their godliness, their desire for holiness isn't where God wants it to be yet. But yet we continue to preach. We continue to repeat it over and over. Thus saith the Lord. He has expectations for us out of his word. And so let's come up to his standard. Let's not live by the world's standards. Our church has a great future. We have the power of God. And we'll speak about that in a moment. If you're taking notes, I'm going to ask you to write down number one. Why is it, you say, Pastor, why is it that our church has such a great future? Well, number one, because God uses imperfect people. God uses imperfect people. Go over to Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 13 down to a few. Mark 3, verse number 13, he goeth up unto a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal the sickness, and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, And they went into an house, and the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now, we've just read here one of the listings of the 12 that Jesus chose to be his apostles. They're often called the 12 disciples. I like more specifically to call them the 12 apostles, because you and I can be a disciple of Christ. We can be disciplined in scriptural teaching, but we can never be an apostle. That was reserved specifically for those that he gave that qualification to. But you see, of these, of the listing of individuals that we have, We have studied them a couple of different times in our Sunday school classes. We have studied all of the apostles, and we've looked at both those characteristics that we should follow, a good example of, as well as the characteristics that we should avoid. We have looked at the fact that Peter denied Christ. I mentioned it just a moment ago. Peter denied Christ. Peter decided, I go a fishing, and walked out on the Lord. We can see here that God used an imperfect man, even though in Matthew he looked at him and said, thou art Peter, but upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God used that man even after he denied Christ. I couldn't do that. Save for the example that we have of Jesus Christ using Peter, and but for my willingness to say, dear Lord God, I want to be as you have taught me. Lord, I want to follow your steps. You used a man who had denied you very clearly three different times and swore to those, cursed to those that were around him, trying to prove that he was not part of you. And Lord, you still use that man. Lord, I would pray if there is ever a time where I met with such an obstacle, that there is an individual that had cursed me and had cursed God and had walked out, only then to come back and say, I was wrong. I've asked the Lord to forgive me. He has forgiven me. Would you, Pastor, would you forgive me? I would say, dear Lord God, you know how difficult that was to go through. You know how traumatic that was as in the ministry of our church. But Lord, I want to see that this man or this woman can be used just like you used individuals when they failed as well. Amen. You see, we just need people to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm an imperfect person, and I have fallen square on my face. But Lord, as the Old Testament teaches us, a just man falleth seven times. Well, you can only fall seven times if you've gotten up six of those. You continue to realize that God uses imperfect people. Philip, one of the apostles, didn't know what to do when the Greeks came to him and said, we would see Jesus. They came to him and said, we would see Jesus. And he goes, He was almost a test, I guess you could say. And I guess if it were a test, I would have to say he failed that. Rather than say, whoa, Jesus, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about the Son of God. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me tell you the unbelievable miracles that he has performed. Hey, he stumbled. He stumbled and stammered and went to one of the apostles. And then they came and they went to Jesus. They didn't take the Greeks to Jesus. They went to Jesus and said, there are men who look for you. You see, he was an imperfect man. Thomas, we call doubting Thomas. We've discussed it before, whether or not he really was truly doubting. But nonetheless, here we have a man that says, I'm not going to believe that he's risen from the dead until I can see verifiable proof. We look at Paul. Paul was the chief of sinners, an imperfect man of all imperfection. God used him. God used a man named Judas Iscariot, the man that betrayed Christ. Now, that particular man was never used for God's glory after that betrayal, but up until that time, he was named with the apostles. He preached, I have no doubt, just as Peter would have, just as any others would have. He was there. When the 5,000 were fed, he was one of the apostles that were there. He was one of the ones that had taken the basket of bread and watched it as it was refilled itself at the end of every row, and the same with the fish, and was astounded to pull back 12 baskets full of fragments. He was there. He was with those as they watched Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He was used by God. He was one of the 12 that people looked to for leadership. And unfortunately, he took that leadership and he did ill with it, and of course betrayed Christ. But God uses imperfect people. These were men that we would probably never have chosen if we knew them as Jesus did. Now Nathanael, he looked at and he said, "A man in whom is no guile." Boy, praise the Lord for that. But yet Nathanael was a sinner just like me, just like you. Christ made a great statement about him. But yet he had difficulties and struggles just as we. And if we would have known all that the apostles, all of the difficulties, all of the struggles that they had, if we had known them going into, and the Lord had said, "Here are the resumes of 50 men. I want you to choose 12 of them." And we scoured the resumes and we read everything about their life. We'd have said, "Not that one. Hey, not that." And we'd have gotten to Peter and said, "No, not Peter, because he's boisterous. He always has too much to say. And he's probably the one that's going to deny you one day." Nope, we'll put him in the cast out pile. We get to the end of the 50 and we look at the pile of yeses and there are maybe none. And we look at the pile of noes and it's a mile high. That's what we would have done. But you see, God looks at us and uses imperfect people anyway. We are simply the building blocks that Christ uses to build his church. "Thou art a little stone, Peter. Thou art a pebble." You cannot build a strong house on a pebble. The wise man build his house upon a rock. It wouldn't have been a small pebble. That's what Peter meant. A small stone. "Thou art a small little stone. But I am the rock. Upon this rock will I build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against us." What does he use to build? He uses those small stones. He uses those small pebbles. He uses the rocks of you and I. He uses us as the timber and as the lumber. He uses us to see his church built. We liken it to the building, the edifice, the established structure. But we see the church itself isn't the structure. The church itself is made up of those that the Lord has chosen to build his church with. We can see that in the Bible, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to look at some of the verses here we're probably familiar with. Ephesians 2. Look at verse 19. In verse number 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We're going to read down through verse number 22. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." It's very clear in Scripture that the Lord uses us to build the church. So how good, how well are you serving your position? How strong is the wall that the Lord has used you to use as mortar in this particular structure, in this particular wall? How sturdy is that wall? Will it cave down easily because you're not fulfilling your obligation, your duty to God to have the strength of a church? You see, our church has a great future because he uses imperfect people. I've been with Brother Howell before. A lot of the stuff that has been up in the parsonage that you all will see. Brother Howell was instrumental in doing a lot of that, and we would go over to Lowe's and we'd walk through and we'd have to select lumber, and you know he'd pick it up as any good carpenter would, and he'd look at the lumber and he'd toss that one to the side. He'd pick up another one and say, "Yep, let's put that one on there," and another one, "Okay, we'll do that one." And, you know, he'd look at these and toss. Now, not a single one of them were free of defects. He's looking for the ones that have the fewest defects. He doesn't want a whole lot of knots. There was one particular thing he knew that he was going to route the edge of this, and so he was looking for something that didn't have knots along the edge very, very clearly, and so he would select that one. But not a single one of them did we look at that had zero imperfections. They all had something. Every piece of building material has an imperfection somewhere. And so God looks at us and says, I'm going to use you to build my church. Bunch of knotheads. Some with a few more than others. Some are so proud of their knotheads they shave their head. Amen. But we're built upon the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Because if we had any other foundation, it would crumble. He is the foundation. Why does our church have a great future? Because Jesus Christ is the foundation, and He uses imperfect people to see His will perform. The church itself is a divine creation, but it is made up of imperfect human beings. And in fact, there will not be a perfect church until the Lord calls us home to glory. At that point, we'll find the perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church today, if you say, well, I'm looking, maybe Coastal Light is that perfect church. I'm sorry, but it's not. I would love to say it is. In fact, if ever you find the perfect church, please don't join it. Because as soon as you do, it'll become imperfect. If you find the perfect church, leave it that way and come back here. Amen? Oh, listen. I praise the Lord that we don't have to depend upon our own strengths to build a church. The Lord doesn't need a building filled with superstars. We don't need unusual talent. We simply need normal, everyday people. People who are willing to be used by God. People who want to be to see the power of God used in their life. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 2. Look at the first several verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Of course, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Some college students, some high school students have 1 Corinthians 2, 1a as their life verse. For I determined not to know anything among you. And they leave it there. I'm just teasing. They don't want to know anything. But here he says, Paul says, I don't know anything save other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, that's how God is going to see a great church. This year, we're talking about committed to the cause. We have a cause for our church. We have a cause to unite together. We have people that travel from the Monk's Corner area. We have people that travel from the Ladson area. We have people that travel from the Somerville area. We have people that travel from the North Charleston area. We have people that will travel from the Hollywood area. We do have people that are right here from West Ashley. I praise the Lord for that. We have had a time where we had individuals that would travel from Mount Pleasant. You see, an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church like this is not one that is born and that is grown out of convenience. It's out of conviction.
Amen.
It's not just that, well, it's the local, it's the closest church to me. Therefore, that's where we'll go. Now, I thank the Lord. There are several of you that you're just around the corner, man. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. Your commute is real easy. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to come and say, man, traffic was unbelievable. I got here late because traffic was so bad. No, you have to give other excuses. No. Just teasing. But you see the conviction of, there's a church that God is building. You see, we've got a great future. It's filled from the pulpit out with imperfection. It's filled every nook and cranny with imperfection. And I've said before, let me just pause here and say again, we will, through the course of our church, we will see people that they will be here and they won't act like us. They act still like the world. Man, let's teach them. Let's show them what a real church is all about. Let's show them a real genuine love. I mean, let's show them a real genuine love. Let's let them realize that, no, this isn't a church where if you don't come in a three-piece suit. Now, I'm all for dressing up when you come to church. I'll tell you that. I'm all for it. I always have. I always will be. I think, man, we're coming to the house of God. We're coming to meet the Lord in a service. Let's look good. But if someone comes in and they don't, I'm not going to run them off. I'm not going to scoff at them. I'm not going to say, well, how dare you come in like that? Man, you walk in. Well, not you. Well, I don't know. I guess if you did, I'm not going to. I'd kind of look at you cross-eyed. You walk in with Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. That's happened before. We've had men that have come in Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. Man, praise the Lord. I want you to get something out of Scripture here. I want you to see what God's doing in our church. Because you wouldn't be the first individual that came dressed like that, that realized, wait a minute, you know what? God has something for me. I claim His name. I'm a child of His. I've been saved. Therefore, I can be different than the rest of the world. Amen. Our church has a great future. Why? Because God uses imperfect people. Number two, because God provides a perfect plan. God provides a perfect plan. We look there, look again at these verses, chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save, watch it now, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God's plan is for you to trust His power. That's how you got saved. You didn't get saved because you were trusting your own power. You didn't get saved because you had lived such a clean life. You didn't get saved because you had finally joined the right church. You got saved because you trusted the power of God. You trusted the power of the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You trusted the power of Jesus Christ. You trusted the power of His death, burial, and the resurrection of Him, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, we thank the Lord for the power. That's where you place your trust. You place your trust there for salvation. Let's place our trust there for God to grow a church. His power. His power. Not mine. Not yours. It's His power. He has a perfect plan. His plan is for those that don't know Christ to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's His plan. So we endeavor to do that. We go out weekly, weekly, weekly. We go out and we beg people, the best of our ability, if they will give us audience for just a few moments, we'll tell them the gospel. We'll tell them how they can be saved. Some say yes, many say no. But I still go out and tell them. I am still constrained to go out and tell them. Even though the multitude of them will say, no, thank you, I'm good. Many of them will agree with every point of salvation. Do you believe your sin? Oh, yes, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, I do. Do you believe He died on the cross for your sin? Oh, yes, I do. Do you believe the Bible where it says you can't get yourself to heaven? Oh, I believe that. Well, do you believe that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, yes. Well, listen, what would stop you today? Oh, listen, I've got something on the stove. My friend's coming. I'm about ready to go. I'm getting dressed. I've got to wash my hair. And they'll give every excuse in the world why is they should not receive Christ as their Savior. Amen. They close the door. I say, dear Lord, I pray that they would. Dear God, I pray that this door, someone will listen and maybe someone would say yes. And I knock on another door. You see, we've got to keep that. Why? Because that's God's plan. That's God's plan. Oh, I could dream up and say, oh, Lord, I sure wish it had been a different way. I sure wish that there was a different plan. I've said before, I'm real before you. Do I get up every Saturday morning and go, woohoo! Oh, soul winning today! Wow! I wish I was spiritual enough to say yes. I really do. I really do. I'm dead serious. I wish I could say, man, now, when I get out there, there's nothing like it. And there is nothing like being able to take a Bible and show someone how they can be saved. especially when you get to, when they in their humility say, yes, I would love to do that. I would love to know that. Oh, it makes it all worthwhile. It makes it worthwhile. I have never yet come back from soul winning and said, man, that was a waste of time. I've never done that because it never has been. I've never come back upset with the fact that I did something that the Lord asked me to do. You see, some of you, you're there and you're like, man, preacher, you talk about this all the time. Amen. Get used to it because it'll not change. I wonder how many of you wouldn't come to this church if we weren't a soul-winning church. But I'll leave it there. God provides a perfect plan. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Look here at the first several verses. Therefore, of course, we look back up because of that word. We can see what the Lord has described up here. Listen, if you don't know where else to take someone, take them to 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 6, verse number 9. That talks about the letter of the law, which is the Ten Commandments that everyone seems to put all of their hope into. Oh, if I just live the Ten Commandments, God's going to let me into heaven. And verse number 9 says, the ministration of condemnation. The Ten Commandments were written to condemn us. They are written to us to show to us that we are already sinners. Therefore, verse number 1 of chapter 4, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glory of gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Go on, next two verses. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You, once you receive Christ as your Savior, you're still an earthen vessel because you're still flesh and blood. But you have, as it says there in verse number 7, a treasure. You have a treasure within you. You have a treasure within you. You see, God has a perfect plan. Not only does God have a plan for your life, He has a plan for our church. A perfect plan for our church. He has a plan for us to grow. He has a plan for us to be strengthened. He has a plan for us to enlarge. He has a plan for our church. We know where the place, we know the people, and we know His plan. Our church has a great future because God uses imperfect people and because God has provided a perfect plan. Number 3, and we'll finish it with this, God will fulfill His precious promise. God will fulfill His precious promise. We think back to the verse in Matthew 16, verse number 18, where it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will fulfill His faithful promise, His precious promise. The gates of hell will not prevail. You say, Pastor, I know of churches that have closed their doors. Yeah, so do I. I know of independent, fundamental, strong, King James believing, soul-winning, bus route running Baptist churches that have had to close their doors. I know that. I would to God that they were still thriving. I would to God that they never had to join with another church. I know churches, that two churches, one was doing well, the other was struggling. They joined churches together and they became one. I'm grateful that they had that strength. But would to God that they each individually would continue to be strong and be strengthened and continue to grow. That would be the best. That would be ideal. Amen. Listen, I don't want to have a church over in that area of Charleston closed down only to come over here and be part of Coastal Light. Now, it's not that I don't want the individuals, and not that I don't want that strength. It just, there's a light that has been extinguished now in that area. And that light needs to be strong. But the light's only going to be as strong as the individuals that will make it up. This church has a great future. God's precious promise will not fail. The church, the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Will the gates of hell prevail against Coastal Light Baptist Church? I could name such and such church in this location, in this city. I could name such and such church in this city. I could name such and such church in this city that have had to close their doors. Membership dwindled. Tithes dropped off. The pastor could no longer sustain his family. He has to eat just as well. They made a decision. The few remaining members chose to close the doors and sell the property and give the monies to wherever this ministry or that ministry. Did the gates of hell prevail? The gates of hell will never prevail against the church. But that local body of believers, I have to scratch my head and wonder, did the gates of hell prevail? Now, against the church of God, it will never. But what about that local establishment? Does that area, does that city? I'm thinking of a particular church that this, it was the only independent fundamental Baptist church in the town. It closed its doors. That particular town does not have a strong gospel witness that now says, hey, listen, here are the convictions that are given to us by God. I don't ever want to have to wonder if the gates of hell are prevailing against Coastal Light Baptist Church. God has placed me here as a pastor, and I promise you this, I have a desire to see God's work done in His way. But there's no pastor on this planet that can do it all by himself. There's no man of God in any church that can support the weight of the entire church with just him and a few. It takes the shoulders of the entire church. It takes people that say, I will be committed to the cause. God has a promise. Our church has a great future because God has promised His church will prevail against the gates of hell. And as long as Coastal Light Baptist Church is determined from top to bottom that we will do God's work in God's way, then we don't have to worry whether the gates of hell will ever see the doors of this church closed.
Amen.
Say, oh, Pastor, are you worried? No, I'm not worried at all. This is the kind of message that I enjoy giving because I like giving it when I'm not worried that, are the gates about ready to close? We're going to have to board it up and say, oh, go to church somewhere else. No, we're not there. We're not even close. I'm glad. But a little bit of preventative medicine goes a long ways, does it not?
Amen.
Let's remind ourselves. Hey, Brother Johnson can remember, just a few of you are here. A few years ago, have you ever driven right over here? There's an empty shopping center, has one little Chinese restaurant. I have no idea how the place stays in business. I was walking over there the other day just praying, Lord, I don't know. Man, what's ever going to happen with this property? Wow. I don't know. I wouldn't want the buildings. I want it to be demolished. We have a gold mine. If you've ever drive over there when you leave, just drive through that little parking lot. There used to be several stores in there. There used to be a little place called Piggly Wiggly. Piggly Wiggly. When my wife and I came out here in 2006 to candidate, that first Sunday afternoon, we were staying. The pastor that was pastoring then, he had already resigned, and he wasn't here. And so we stayed up in the parsonage that week. And that Sunday afternoon, we had gone out to eat and came back. And maybe it was that Sunday night, I forget. And we said to Brother Dave and Miss Cassie, we said, is there a place to get some groceries around here? You know, just we're going to be here for a week. And they said, yeah, you can go over here to the pig. Like, the what? The pig. Piggly Wiggly. I'm like, that's the name of your grocery store? I'm not from the South. You know, Safeway, Albertsons, King Supers back in Colorado. The pig. What? And so we went over there. Here I am. Now listen, I just flown out here from the Silicon Valley of California. I mean, the internet capital of the world, it seems. And I come over here to the pig. And I get up to the checkout line, and I see this thing. Now, they don't have it, of course. The pig's all gone. You know, I walk up to this thing, and I said, what is that? And they said, oh, that's our fingerprint scanner. I'm like, what? She said, yeah, when you connect it up with your ATM card, you don't even have to get your card out. You just put your finger in, it scans your finger, you put your pin in, and you pay for your food. I'm like, I come to the pig, and you've got more technology than I've ever seen. But it was about, I don't even know if it was a year, certainly wasn't 2 years. And one Sunday night I said, listen, this grocery store, the pig may close one day. It may close one day. Then what are you going to do for groceries? You'll just find another grocery store. You'll go over here to Bilo, you go over here to Food Lion. If the grocery store closes, it's going to be inconvenient. It's not going to be very nice, but you'll find another grocery store. I said that night, I said, what are you going to do if Coastal Light Baptist Church closes? Now, at that particular point, I was fearful. I have to be honest. I'm like, man, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Now, you may come on the 22nd of February to our business meeting and say, I don't know why you're not fearful, Pastor. Maybe you should be. I don't know. Maybe I should be, but I don't believe so. But I said, what if that store, within 2 weeks, it was in the paper, Piggly Wiggly is going to close over here at such and such place. I said, see, you better listen to me. What if Coastal Light Baptist Church doesn't have a great future? What would your family do? Well, you're the only church in town? No. You're the only pastor? No. I've said before, I know that I'm not everyone's pastor. I know that. I want desperately to be your pastor, but I know I'm not everyone's. But God has placed this church here. It has a great future. It has a great future. Everyone who is here, you've chosen to come here. It's not just that, well, it was just around the corner. That might have been the first reason that you visited, but that's not why you kept coming back. Lord willing, there was a message you went for from the pulpit. Lord willing, there were a body of believers that you could see that you could really join with, and this could become a family to you. Our church has a great future. I'm glad that God uses imperfect people because I fit that qualification quite well. I don't know about you all, but that one I can fill. And then I'm glad that the rest of it is reliant upon God. And if we will just rely upon God, the gates of hell will never have any sway to the doors of Coastal Light Baptist Church. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time. Lord, I do thank you for the message. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to determine. Lord, this morning, there was not one particular point that I would hammer home. Lord, but the Holy Spirit could speak to our hearts. The Holy Spirit could prove to us what we need. And dear Lord, it might be that there is someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Lord, they need to be. Dear God, I pray that you would do business with their hearts. Lord, it might be that there would be someone here that would have to say, I need to join a local Baptist church, a local New Testament church. Dear God, perhaps this would be the church that you would want them to join. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be very clear to them. Lord, throughout the years, I have prayed for every person that has come and visited, that you would be clear where they should join, what church should be their home church. Because, Lord, I want them to be where you want them to be. Dear God, I'm thankful that we have a strong church. Lord, I would love to see it strengthened even so much the more. Dear God, I pray that you would just help us to do business with you. This morning, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me ask you this. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't know whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell. I have no idea where I'd spend eternity. Just real quickly, is that you this morning? I don't know, but I would like to know. I would like to know. I see no hands. That would mean this morning that you're, by your indication, that you know that you're saved. How many of you this morning would raise your hand and say, I would sure like to see a church that is very strong in this area of this city that would continue to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people? Would you slip your hand up with me? Well, I want to see this church continue to strengthen. I thank the Lord for that. Put your hands down. I'll ask you to stand. The piano will begin playing. The invitation is for everyone today. It's open for all of us. Oh, would we come and say, dear Lord, would you use me? Would you use me, Lord? You come as she plays.